All right. Amen. Well, guys, I hope you had a great Christmas. Listen, I say this, you know, sincerely. It's kind of the last Sunday I'm going to see some of you people, right? Because by the time I see you next week, you're already going to be on your way to becoming brand new people with all those resolutions that are coming up. Amen, right? You guys are ready? But listen, if those don't work out, I have something that I think will, okay? We're going to study the Word of God this morning, and it never returns void. And so if you have your Bibles, we're in Mark chapter 4. Also ask that you would grab a bulletin. If you didn't get one of these when you came in, we have a digital version. You just scan the QR code, and I believe the Lord has something for us. I believe the Lord has something for us. Guys, last week we're doing the story of Jesus. Last week we studied this interaction with Jesus and a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. And we kind of talked about that we all have these deep places that we turn to try to find significance. And they never pay off, right? They never pay off. And that was the point. And Jesus just says, listen, here's what I'm asking of you. I just want you to transfer that same level of faith that you have put in those broken places. I want you to place it on me instead. And if you do, you'll have eternal life. And this living water will become a wellspring of life in you. And so we just talked about, there's another way, guys. And so my hope for you this year as you kind of enter into a new year is that you find that way, that you start walking in that way. And I think God's got a great word for us this morning. So again, if you have your Bibles, we're in Mark chapter 4. I'm going to pray for our time in God's word, and then we'll get started. Father, thanks for loving us and allowing us to gather. Holy Spirit, every week we want to recognize that you are the teacher of our church. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to fill this room, to fill this place, to fill our minds and fill our hearts, and teach us about Jesus. Your role is to exalt the Messiah, to exalt Jesus. And so let us see him clearly this morning. Pray for wisdom to understand the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Guys, I'm in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35, as we talk about the authority of Jesus this morning. It says, on that day, when evening had come, he told them, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. So they left the crowd, and they took him along, since he was already in the boat, and other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. He was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him up, and they said to him, teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, silence, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified. And they asked one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Great story. This is the word of God. So I just want to talk to you about this text this morning. And there's really four things that I want to share with you this morning. So I'm going to move kind of quickly. Here's the first. I want you to know from the beginning, guys, that everyone faces storms in life, even followers of Jesus. All right? Everyone faces storms in life, even followers of Jesus. Now, here's how this story begins. If you actually read the beginning of Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Jesus is teaching by the Sea of Galilee, and such a great crowd appears that he has to get in a boat and push off from the shore, and he teaches them all day. Parable after parable after parable, Mark says. And Mark kind of ends, he summarizes the day of teaching with this in verse 35 and 36. He says, on that day, when evening had come, he told them, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. So they left the crowd and they took him along, since he was in the boat. He was already teaching in the boat. He says, hey guys, let's go to the other side. And then immediately, the next verse, we read this, verse 37. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. Here's what I want you to see this morning. Jesus initiated this journey. I'm going to say that again. Jesus initiated this journey. This storm didn't come from disobedience or from rebellion. This storm wasn't due to a lack of faith on their part. Jesus told them, now let's go to the other side. And they went, and that's when the storm came. And I say that to you this morning because I think it's important in our world. Y'all, there is a lot of bad theology, bad thoughts about God in our world today, especially amongst the prosperity gospel movement and the word of faith movement. And they say things like this. They say things like, listen, if you're facing difficulty, if you're suffering, it must be because you don't have enough faith, or it must be because you have done something wrong. And friends, those claims do not hold up to the weight of Scripture. Scripture is rich when it comes to the storms that we face in life and this truth that we all go through suffering. Now, yes, it is true. Some of the storms in life we face are self-inflicted, right? You smoke 5 packs a day and you're up with lung cancer, it was on the package, y'all, right? You drink too much alcohol and you have liver problems, there's a warning there, right? If you constantly lie and cheat and steal, guess what? You'll die alone. That's like, and the Bible is clear on this. It doesn't hold back. It says we reap what we sow, right? But not all suffering is self-inflicted. In fact, much of the suffering we face in life is not actually localized. It's global in its impact. When Adam and Eve sinned, and we studied this at the beginning, they weren't the only ones affected. The Bible says that all of creation experienced that fall. And the Bible says all of creation actually groaning, is actually wanting to be restored. Everything's broken, including every person you know. So a lot of the storms that we face in life are not because, like in this instance, it wasn't because they lacked faith. It wasn't because they were disobeying. They were actually doing what Jesus said. So sometimes we face storms because of what we do. Sometimes we face storms just because of what everyone does, right? Because of the global effects of sin, the fact that we live in a fallen world. But sometimes we face storms because of the sin of others, don't we? I'm going to say this to some of you this morning. I hope you hear me. When somebody hurts you, when they sin against you, when you're abused or abandoned or betrayed, that is not your fault. Can I say that to you again? When you experience those great hurts in life, that is not your fault. Some of you have this built into you that you honestly believe that wrong theology. You think that everything you go through in life is because of something you've done, and it's not. Sometimes it's because other people really stink. Okay? Then there's one other type of storm that we never talk about, and it's the storms that come from obedience. Not a lack of faith, but because we have faith. See, the disciples were following Jesus' commands. They were doing exactly what he told them to do, and that's why the storm arose. And y'all, Jesus predicted this. He actually told his followers, you'll face storms in life. Listen to this, John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace, but you're going to have suffering in this world. Be courageous, though. I've conquered the world. John 15:8-20, he says, if the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, the world would love you as its own. However, because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of it, the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. A servant isn't greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute me, you. Listen, Jesus is very clear on this. The Bible's clear on this, guys. Everyone faces storms, even followers of Jesus, maybe especially followers of Jesus, all right? If we're going to talk about this story, we have to start there. That's the first thing I want to share with you. But here's the second, guys. I want you to know that storms don't mean that Jesus doesn't love you or care about you. Storms don't mean that Jesus doesn't love you or care about you. I want to take a close look at how the disciples respond to their circumstances, because there's a lot in their response that reveals how we often respond to God as well, right? So think about this. Jesus says, get in the boat. Let's go to the other side. He goes up front. He's asleep, right? The storm, the wind begins to blow, and the waves begin to grow, and now there's those white caps on the top of them, and they're crashing against the boat. And these are fishermen, y'all, but so much water is entering the boat, they believe they're going to sink and they're going to die. And what is Jesus doing? He's just asleep. He's just taking a nap, right? And so what do? They go and they wake him up, and I want you to listen to the accusatory nature of what they say. Right? Here it is on the screen, verse 38. Teacher! They're waking him up, right? They're yelling at Jesus. Teacher! don't you care that we're going to die? Don't you care? And there's so much in their response. By the way, that's an honest, real response, isn't it? It's an honest, real response. And there's so much in that. I would love to judge them, but I look in the mirror in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would love to go, gosh, they lack faith, but I know me. I know you guys too. Like, we've all, in life, when things are not working out the way that we think they're supposed to, when God is not doing what we think he should do, don't we cry out the same thing to him? Don't we pray the same thing? Don't we say things like, God, where are you? God, don't you see what's happening to me? God, don't you care? See, when life doesn't go the way we think it should, when God doesn't act the way that we think he should, we all have a tendency to respond the same way as the disciples did here. And we basically cry out, God, are you sleeping on me? What's going on? But I want you to write this next line down. It matters. Jesus' silence does not equal his absence. Jesus' silence does not equal his absence. The disciples interpret his sleep as indifference to their circumstance, but Jesus is not unaware. He's just unafraid. The disciples thought they needed a storm-free life, you see. Don't we all? The disciples believed that what they needed was a storm-free life. But the truth is that these were God's chosen instruments, these men in this boat. Jesus had chosen. He had a plan for them. He had a future for them, just like he does for us. They were going to be the light of the world. They were going to be the ones to carry the gospel to the nations. And they did not need a storm-free life because they were going to face storms. What they needed was an understanding of the authority of the one that was in the boat with them that day. That's what they needed more than anything else. The storm wasn't punishment. It was preparation. Third thing I want you to understand about this text is that Jesus has absolute authority to calm the storms within and without. Jesus has absolute authority to calm the storms within and without. So how does Jesus respond? He gets up and he literally rebukes the storm. Verse 39, he got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea. Now if you're there, you got to be thinking, this dude's nuts, right? He's talking to the wind. He's talking to the waves. He gets up and he says, silence, be still. And the wind ceased and there was great calm. The disciples are freaked, y'all. They're like, wait. I mean, you can imagine, like, wait a second. He's up and now what is he going to do? He begins to speak to the situation. That's all it takes. He's like, wind, stop it. See, shh. And here's the crazy thing. They listen. They listen. And the disciples are so amazed at the authority that Jesus possesses in this moment that every synoptic gospel carries a story. John is the only gospel that doesn't include. Listen to each account. It has such a different perspective. So Mark in our text says, who then is this? Who is this? Even the wind and the sea, hear the amazement in his voice. Matthew, here's his account. He says, what kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him. Luke interviews everybody afterward and walks away and writes this account. Who then is this? He commands even the winds and the waves and they obey him. You can hear the amazement in their voice. So Jesus calms the storm, but in doing so, he doesn't just calm the storm around them. He also calms the storm within them. All of their anxiety, all of their fear, it all melts away in that moment, doesn't it? And here's the thing that we need to know. That's not necessarily. That's not necessary. God does not have to calm the storm in order to calm you and me. And in fact, what we see Jesus doing here, he's asleep in the midst of it, right? Jesus has this really weird peace about him. That's what you're supposed to read in the text. Like, how could Jesus have peace? How could he be? And listen, we're now children of God. Right? We now have that same Christ living in us. And the point is that we too can have that really weird peace in the midst of craziness. This is how Paul describes it, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, right, which surpasses all understanding, that means which makes no sense in the situation, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace that passes all understanding. That's the peace that we can have. Jesus has all authority to calm the situation or to calm us. Okay? It matters. We got to know that. Last thing you got to see. That authority has been given to us. Jesus has given us his authority to bring peace to others who are drowning in the raging seas of life. Jesus has given us his authority to bring peace to others who are drowning in the raging seas of life. So I want to fast forward quite a bit, okay? So we're doing the story of Jesus. We're like very early on in people following Jesus. So we're going to fast forward more towards the end of the story. So John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the cover of night. What do I have to do to enter the kingdom of heaven? He's like, hey, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. And then he references that Old Testament story of the snake, the serpent being lifted up. And he says, just like that, the Son of Man, I've got to be lifted up. And all who look to me in faith will be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, that he's come to die, that he's been lifted up for them, will not perish but have eternal life, right? Okay, so we're going to fast forward. That's happened. Jesus has been lifted up, right? He died on the cross, sign of Jonah. He was buried in the belly of the earth for 3 days. He is risen again. Now, before he dies, he tells his disciples, don't forget, this is going to happen. I'm going to die, but I'm going to come back to life, and you're going to meet me in Galilee. Now, the disciples, he knows them. They're going to freak out. So then the angel of the Lord reminds them twice via different messengers, hey, you need to go to Galilee, and you need to find him. So when Jesus comes back to life and conquers death, when he shows that he has authority even over sin and death, the very next meeting, here's what he says to these guys, right? This is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came near to them and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Okay? Y'all, this is a callback. This is a callback to our story today. They on the sea, that day, they learned that Jesus had authority over even the wind and the waves. And now they witness that he even has authority over death. And Jesus says, yes, now I have all authority. He's reminding them. And get this, he says, it's been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. He's giving them his authority. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always. I'm always in your boat. Till the end of the ages, I'm always in your boat. And this is crazy. This is the callback of all callbacks. Before ascending into heaven, he's saying all of that stuff that you're thinking about right now, circling in your head, about my power to calm that storm, about my power to conquer death. Guess what? All of that is now yours. In that power, not in your own, but in my authority now, go and change the world. Now go and fight back darkness. Now go and bring peace to those that are alienated from God. Now go and make disciples. So good. So good. So what do we do? with the story when we begin to understand it contextually in the Bible. Okay? I think there's a few things. Here's the first challenge, I believe, is we need to make sure that Jesus is truly in our life. Matters. Hey, y'all, listen, if Jesus isn't in the boat, I think things go differently. Anybody else? Follow me? I mean, this is Sea of Galilee, man. This is in the evening. When storms came up in the evening, Sea of Galilee, ships sank. That's how it worked. Okay? You know your own life without Christ. Now your life with Christ. You know people around you that don't have him. Listen, if Jesus isn't in the boat, it's a different story. You guys follow me? It's not enough to believe that Jesus is good. It's not enough to have an affinity for him, to admire him. It's not enough to know some information about him. It's not enough to think that he is special. You must have him in your life. These stories are building, right? Nicodemus, you must be born again. We're spiritually dead. That's the problem. You have to be born again. There's a huge difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. And Jesus being in your boat, in your life. Maybe I'm trying to make you question. I don't know. You got to know him. So if you're here today, and listen, I believe the Holy Spirit drew you here. The Holy Spirit drew me to a church service a year before I accepted Christ. It took a year for me to sit under biblical teaching, go to Bible studies, to finally go, you know what, I'm not actually a Christian. I knew a lot about Jesus. I even taught some classes. I had a lot of information at that point. Information was pouring in. But I had not surrendered control of my life to Jesus Christ. He wasn't in control. And listen, if he's not in control, he's not in control. That means you're out of control. Okay? You need to make sure that he is in control of your life. That's where we start, number one. Second, I want to challenge you. Actually, let's do this. Hey, go back to that next, the text of the word Jesus. Yeah, let's do that real quick. I'm trying to remember this, y'all. It's new. So I want to say, in a second, we're going to have an opportunity, if that's you, that you can do this. But I want to put this on the screen now. If you're here today and you're going, I don't know if Jesus is in control of my life, and you want to talk to somebody about it. I know it's holidays, but you're gonna get a text from us. You're gonna fill out some stuff. But if that's you, you're like, I'm not sure. We want to make sure that you know. We want to make sure that you can have Jesus at the center of your life. So you can literally just text the word Jesus to that number. You're gonna get a text response from us, and then we got you. We got you. We're not gonna let you go after that. Okay. So I want to put that up there. Second thing I think the text demands, y'all, is that we have to let our faith be visible through peace instead of panic. We have to let our faith be visible through peace instead of panic. So you're like, who am I supposed to be in this story? If you're a Christian, you're supposed to be Jesus. What? Yeah. If you're a Christian, you know storms are going to come. Some storms are going to come specifically because you're following him, and you need to have peace like a river. We sing that stuff. We got to live that stuff. Like, other people should look at you and respond like the disciples do in this text. Other people should look at you and go, what's wrong with you? Wake up. You should be freaking out right now. You should be. And you should be like, no. You know why? Because I know whom I belong to. And I am sure that he is able. He's got me. He sees me. He knows me. He has the authority to stop this situation, but he also has the authority to just give me his peace that doesn't make sense. That's why I am the way I am. You should be that person in other people's lives, guys. And by the way, this only comes if we abide in Christ. I know a lot of Christians, we're not abiding in Christ. So what happens if we're not actually spending time with Jesus every day? We're not praying every day. We're not saying, let your will be done in my life. What happens is then we respond like the old fleshly response. We freak out over everything. And then only when we have nothing left do we go, Jesus, save me. And he's good and he does. But man, we missed a lot of witnessing opportunities. Okay? So let your faith be visible through peace instead of panic. Last thing, share the gospel, because without Jesus, there's no peace. Listen, I have no problem with rose-colored glasses. That's fine. If you're a super optimistic person, I am. My wife is like, you think you can do anything? And I'm like, no, I don't think I can do anything. But I think good things are going to happen. I just believe it. And she's like, you're not. And she says she's a realist. She's more, you know, I was like, realism is knowing that good things can happen and I'm going to do it no matter what. I have the spiritual gift of faith. And if bad things happen, I'm okay with it. She's like, no, bad things are going to happen. I go, that sounds like pessimism to me. Realism, it's fine. Okay, listen, maybe you got on rose-colored glasses, and that's cool, and join the club, I love you. You always see the best in people, that's great. Here's the truth of what's going on around us, guys. People are drowning. Life is eating them up. They're drowning. And I'm going to say this to you in love. What they need isn't just a kind word. What they need isn't a better job, although maybe that's part of it. What they need isn't a better spouse, although maybe that's part of it. What they need isn't a better drug to take to calm them down. Maybe that's a temporary solution. What they need is a peace that passes all understanding, and without Jesus, you cannot have that, okay? You've heard this saying before, I hope. If you know Jesus, K-N-O-W, then you know, K-N-O-W, peace. But if there is no Jesus, N-O, then you have no peace, N-O, peace. If you know Jesus, that's the only way you can know peace. But if there's no Jesus, there is no peace. People in your life, this is God ordained, by the way, this is his system. If you're a child of God, you're now a light bearer. You're a reconciler. That's who you are. You now have a job, and your job is to bring others into a relationship with Christ. He wants to use you for that. That's your job. Primary, by the way. There's lots of other ways you'll make money, that you'll make a living, but your primary function isn't physical, it is spiritual. And your primary function spiritually is to be the light of the world, just as Jesus was. And listen, that means that we exist to share the gospel with other people. We cannot shirk this responsibility anymore. As a church, we've just embraced it. We said, we're going to be a church on mission, so we want you to be on mission, okay? Go and be those kind of people. Go and be those kind of people. That's what this story is about. That's what this story is about. Jesus has authority over everything in life, over every storm and over you, and he has given you that same authority to go and bring peace to others, okay? Let's do this morning. I'd love to pray with you. Then we're going to let you go. We're going to turn off the lights for a moment. We're going to dim them. Don't let it freak you out. But we just want a place in this room where you don't feel like anybody's judging you or looking around. So I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes for a moment. And I'm going to start with just believers. You're already a Christian. But right now, the truth is that you have lost sight over this calling, and you are gripped by anxiety and fear all the time. You have forgotten the authority that Jesus possesses in your life. If that's you, you're a believer in Christ, you know that you're saved, but man, you find yourself in panic more often than not. Would you just raise your hand, because I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand. Awesome. Thank you. Just want to pray for you. Father, right now I want to pray for my brothers and sisters. And we all do this when we're not abiding like we should. Man, we look at the storm and it catches our attention. Like Peter, we end up sinking instead of conquering the wind and the waves. So, Father, this morning, I pray for those believers that are in the house. I pray specifically that they would take their eyes off of the storm and put it back on the one that has authority over it. Father, for every person here that walked through the doors and they were thinking that they're going through something in life and it's just a form of punishment, I pray today that you would change their mind and they would begin to leave here thinking maybe it's not punishment, maybe it's preparation. Maybe it's because I'm meant to bring peace to others. And so, Father, help us just change our minds and our hearts, and that I ask that in your holy and precious name. Now I want to speak to those of you that maybe you're here and that first question on the application, make sure that Jesus is in your life. It is creating a problem in you right now because you are not sure if you're a Christian. And if that's you, I just want to say today, let's nail it down today. Like, let's take care of it right here and now. So if you would like to ask Jesus to come into your life and to take control, no one's looking around, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, but you need peace in your life. Your life is a wreck, and today you heard Jesus can bring calm to that storm, but you've got to have him on board. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I think you're speaking directly to me. I need Jesus in my life. Just raise your hand nice and high. Man, thank you so much. Anybody else? I'm just looking out there. Give me 1 second if you'll keep that hand up. That's awesome. Hand up nice and high. Okay, if you raise your hand, would you just take a second, just look at me real quick? I see you, sweetie. I see you. I see you right there on the front row. I see you guys. So if that's you, what we do, the Bible says that we'll confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. And that means that we'll be born again, that the Spirit of God will come and live inside of us, the Spirit of Jesus. We'll never be alone again. And that power, that authority of Jesus will now live in us, and we'll have the ability to make it through life's hard places. And so if maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you want in on that, we're going to pray a prayer. We're just going to confess with our mouth, okay? And we're shifting faith off of the places that we've put it before, and we're just going to shift it to Jesus this morning and say, Jesus, I'm going to believe in you instead. So the church is going to pray out loud for you. We're going to pray together. If you'll just say this with me out loud, nothing magic about these words. We're training our people up to go out and to lead others to Christ. Dear God, I come to you right now. I need help. I need peace. My life is a wreck. I'm so tired of this feeling. Jesus, please come into my life now. Come on board. Dwell in me. Take control of me. Make me yours. Bring peace that only you can. Help me learn to follow you. Help me learn to trust you every day. And help me live for your mission. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.